Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:29 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is November 18th. Today on the stock market, it was largely characterized, or action was largely characterized by moves up or down of less than 1%. So nothing in any way of a dynamic type of action. In Asia, the majority of markets were down on the day. China was a bit of an exception. It was up very marginally. Australia and New Zealand were both really quiet, relatively quiet. In Europe, very much the same situation, with the majority of indices closing a little bit down on the day. The exceptions were in Germany and Spain, and indeed Sweden, which were up marginally. And as we approach the close on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is down 29, the S&P 500 is down 2, and the Nasdaq is down just over two-thirds of 1%. Brazil was a little bit easier today, having tested the recovery high, the October recovery high, somewhere in the 67,500 level yesterday. It was down by about 1% today. So we've seen that a number of these stock markets have raced a little bit over the last 2 weeks, and maybe a little bit more for some, to go back and test their recovery highs, and they're a little bit overextended in the very short term, which suggests that we might be in for a little bit of a pullback in the current region. When we look, for example, at the FTSE, it broke upwards to new recovery highs yesterday, and it was down only very marginally today, holding the vast majority of the gain. But it did race to get up to that level. So if we see some further consolidation around the current area, I don't think people are going to be too very much surprised. And it is a very similar story for indices such as the S&P and the Dow Jones. In, for example, Spain, the market has got right up to this 12,000 level, and it's been ranging below that area for much of the last 4 months. And a lot of the overbought condition that was quite evident back in August and July has been unwound at this point. When we look somewhat over, or if we look a little bit longer term and into the last couple of years, the vast majority of markets have found support. They've broken upwards from their base formations. They're improving upon that performance. They have sustained moves above their 200-day moving averages, and those 200-day moving averages have turned upwards, and that's all largely supportive of the bull market hypothesis. The progression of higher reaction lows that's evident on the vast majority of stock markets is very much still in place. We had some failed downside breaks at the beginning of November and the end of October in some of those European indices, but they were very quickly countermanded, and we've seen them push back up towards their recovery highs. So that was a mild inconsistency. But provided Wall Street remains relatively consistent, and Wall Street was one of those indices, or the US was one of those countries where we didn't see the major indices breaking the progression of higher reaction lows, and the Wall Street leash effect would state that if the US is steady to rising, that leaves the liquidity out to the rest of the world so that higher beta markets can rally that bit more. And that certainly has been the case. Given, of course, the fact as well that the US dollar remains comparatively weak, and the US dollar today on the dollar index was down 22 ticks. It continues to hover around this 75 area on the dollar index. The downtrend that has been in place since March for the dollar index is relatively consistent. The progression of lower rally highs is still in place, and until we see that progression of lower rally highs get taken out on a sustained basis, then there will be a sound reason to for carry traders to continue to increase their leverage in risk type assets. Interest rates in the US remain very much close to zero, and there's nobody anticipating that they're going to be raised anytime this year, and it might be well into next year before we see any rate increases. The dollar's downtrend remains very much in place, and the availability of funding, particularly to some of the larger banks, is more than available. So they have ample opportunity to invest in better performing and higher yielding assets. And that would suggest that the US dollar is the carry currency of choice for The vast majority of speculative investors that have availability to that cheap source of credit. And the symbiosis that has developed between the weak dollar and strong just about everything else is still very much intact. Today, in the Treasury markets, we saw the 30-year down 17 points. Gilts and bunds were both relatively unchanged. And these bonds continue to look like they're capable of rallying up towards the upper side of their ranges. Strength in the government bond market is certainly not a headwind for the equity markets, and that can be deemed as a positive. In the commodity markets today, gold was a little bit stronger, and it went up and had a look at $1,150 earlier on today, and closed a little bit off that high, but has held on to at least part of the gain today. Silver was up $16, and it had a look at $18.85 earlier on today, but closed in the region of $18.55. Platinum was down a little bit in here today, down 18. So we continue to see that these precious metals have held their upward breaks. They remain consistent. They continue to look like they have further to go on the upside. When we look at the big picture for precious metals, there is a sound bullish argument to be made for gold in terms of the supply deficit that continues to develop, that we're seeing increased investor demand, and with the IMF having placed at least half of its gold with India, the threat of big government sales has been removed, and it is a hedge against worst case scenarios, both inflationary and deflationary. So there is a sound bullish argument for it. And when we look at it relative to something like the Dow, well, it was cheap back there in 2000 when the ratio was up around 40, but it's down to about 9 now. So gold isn't cheap relative to stock markets anymore. But nor has this bull market ended, and we're probably moving from the second psychological perception stage, which can broadly be described as the wall of worry or the move towards acceptance, into the euphoria type stage, and there is a strong likelihood that the gold bull market will eventually end in some sort of gold fever. And it does require some pretty big moves in the ratio, in the components of the Dow gold ratio to move the ratio by a full point at this stage. So that's either a big fall in the Dow or a big move upwards in gold relative to the Dow. And there is certainly potential for that to occur. But when we do begin to see that ratio bottoming out, then that is going to be an indication that we are in the latter stages of gold's bull market. And that will perhaps be a more difficult prospect to accept for people when that does occur, because we can expect that people will have already made a lot of money out of the metal, and it's certainly more difficult to pick tops than bottoms, but that does remain a while away yet, and there's still considerable potential for gold to advance in the short, the medium term. When we look at the soft commodities, they've been characterized by a great deal of volatility in terms of their trading, particularly over the last 6 months. When you look at the grains such as corn, soybean, oats, or wheat, they've been up 1 week or up 1 month and down the next, and they've been trading in base formation type characteristics, which are generally really quite volatile. But when you look at those long-term charts, and I'll post a number of them in comment of the day today, you'll see that when we saw that big decline in food prices last year, that the vast majority of these soft commodities found support at historically high levels when you look at what they had traded like for much of the last 20 years. And that's broadly supportive of the bull market. And with farmers able to pick up that those better prices, they'll have a greater impetus to go out there and attempt to buy or to increase supply in order to capture that those better prices. And the one easy way of increasing supplies of soft commodities such as grains and coffee and sugar and cocoa is to buy fertilizer. and those fertilizer companies, led by Potash of Saskatchewan, and perhaps next in that line would be Agrium. They look like they're under accumulation. They look like they have significant recovery potential, and it does look like it's only going to be a matter of time before we see them breaking upwards and attracting greater interest from the investment public. The fertilizer shares were some of the most consistent movers on the upside prior to the onset of the financial crisis. They have been doing very little over the last year, and they've lagged some of the other commodity plays. But if we are seeing that soft commodities are base building and breaking upwards from bases, then interest is almost certainly going to return to that sector, and relative to the rest of the commodity sector, the fertilizer companies are probably in a more value type area. When we look at the wider market, the vast majority of stock markets are in this corrective type phase, which has been characterized by a large amount of ranging over the last 4 months, and a number of indices have had a distinct upward bias. And that is helping to unwind some of the overbought condition, and certainly we are going to see some of these markets pull back towards their 200-day moving average in a more violent reaction. But everything we've seen over the last year has been very much in line with the bull market hypothesis, and reversions towards the 200-day moving average are likely to be seen as buying opportunities over the longer term, and that's likely to remain the case for a considerable period, particularly since monetary conditions remain extraordinarily accommodative. And with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.